Welcome everyone to Fendringcast 126. It's been a long time. It's been a very long time in coming. I hope everyone's well. Hope everyone is gearing up for 2020 and what hopefully will be an exciting season of pro bicycle racing on the road. A lot of work's been going on behind the scenes on the website, and the Fendrian.eu website has been updated. It's moved from one provider to now be part of WordPress. And I'm keeping the content up to date and flowing, and things are going quite well with it. The number of hits on the site is up, and all of the measures and metrics that you would use. So if you've been on the website recently, thank you very much. If you like it, thank you very much. And make sure you share any of the content on Twitter, Facebook, Insta, etc. Just to let people know that we're still out there and still blogging. In terms of today's pod, it's more of a roundup, really, just because there's been so much happened since we last sort of spoke at the end of the season. The cyclocross has been pretty fantastic. There's been a small amount of worry in my mind about the domination of Matthew van der Poel, but when he's dominated races, he's done it with a fair bit of flair and the odd tail whip, so much so that actually it's not been so boring. We've done a couple of blogs on the site about some of the races, but I think van der Poel might come this time next year if his eye is more on the road. The likes of Elie Isabit and Tom Pidcock, if he sticks with his programme of kind of mainly cross, I think they're going to be genuine contenders and they'll be a lot nearer to him. I wonder if the generation of Lawrence Sweek, Tunerts, etc., they're probably now mentally in a position where they'll never beat him. So I think maybe van der Poel has got the one up on them. And then I suppose the other joker in the pack is what Wout van Aert's going to do. He got himself ready and in contention for a medal at the World Cyclocross Championship, just missing out in the end. But could he be a factor going forward, or is he now 100% about the road? So lots of questions that need answering. And it was with a heavy heart, really, that I watched the last race of the season from Leuven on Sunday. And as well, because I think we were denied an even better race by the crash that took Elie Isabit down in the first corner. So hopefully he's not too badly injured. He managed to claw his way back into the field, but I think gave it up as a bad job. It was a funny old race, really, because a lot of the people that had been up there all season just seemed to clock off and trundle round, which was a shame because it looked a pretty interesting course. One of the best ones of the season. I think Namur would be the one. If I could go to one, I would choose that one for sure. That would be, without doubt, actually, the one that I'd want to go to, with the Citadel and various bits and bobs. Some of the other content that's been on the site has been, even though this winter's not been that cold and it's not been that dark and it's not been frosty or snowy, the fact that quite a lot of roads have been flooded has tested certainly my morale and motivation, so get yourself onto the site and have a read of that article if you haven't. The road season, believe it or not, is is underway. We've got the first of the Cobble Classics coming this weekend. Thank goodness the proper season starts. We've had like the Tour of Valencia, which I always enjoy. The Tour of Provence seems to gain every season in, I suppose, stature, quality of field. And the fact that, in February they could take the race halfway up Mont Ventoux to Chalet Renard was really exciting. And the ride that Quintana did was phenomenal. He rode away from the rest of the field. And certainly in terms of early season teams, with Bahani winning a sprint stage of that race and Quintana the overall and the queen stage, you'd have to say Arkea, Samsic are looking all right. I've listened to some other podcasts and read some other articles about Quintana and whether his form's going to be good enough to compete or whether his team's going to be good enough. I don't think that matters anymore. I think he's actually quite a dangerous guy to have in the mountains with this newfound spirit and freedom. So let's hope that, as we hope Matthew van der Poel disrupts the classics and changes the formula, let's hope Quintana looks at the monotonous power meter controlled mountain stages of the Tour de France and just let rip and go for it, because that would be phenomenal to watch. So whilst I can't say I was a massive fan of Nairo when he was at Movistar for the way maybe that they rode and seemed to turn in on themselves, what a phenomenal ride that was. And speaking of ex-Movistar riders, the Tour of Andalusia, even though Jakob Fuglsang rode away from the doping allegations that were haunting him to win that, Mikel Landa also showed that out of one of the bigger, more regimented teams, of course, having been at Astana, Sky and Ineos and now Movistar and now Bahrain, he's showed that, you know, with the brakes off, he's also kind of lethal. Reminds me a lot of sort of Nibali before his Grand Tour wins, where actually he didn't give a stuff about the rule book. He doesn't give a stuff about when you should and when you shouldn't attack. He's going for it and he's going to try and win races. And it was brilliant to watch. Brilliant. The Tour of the Algarve was running consecutively with that. And Remco Evenepoel, who was one of our riders to watch last year, was pretty much unbeatable. Won the big hilltop stage and the time trial. I think that looking at the seasons to come, maybe we've had a generation, with the greatest of respect to the Geraint Thomases and the Tom Dumoulins and the Chris Froomes and, you know, the those sort of people. We've now got Pogacar, we've got Evenepoel, we've got Van der Poel. We've got riders that can reshape the sport who are young and they've got years ahead of them. And I hope that those sort of riders that maybe will rip the power meter out of their crank and just go for it, I'm hoping they're the sort of riders that will win Grand Tours. And maybe those in the, you know, like Sivakov in the Ineos structure, maybe the way that they've ridden races in the past isn't the way that we're going to ride races in the future. And I hope that is the case, because at the moment, there's a lot made of the scenery that surrounds bike races and that it's a visual spectacle. Well, actually, it should be a visual spectacle because of the excitement on the bike. And that element of unpredictability has gone out of Grand Tours because of the level of interaction with power data and power meters. And I sound like a guy who's not got a power meter anymore, and I am. But that's not made me suddenly attack the Lincolnshire hills and into Rutland with flair and panache. You know, it's not actually made any difference to how I ride at all. Certainly not at the level I perform at. But for some of these other guys, maybe they should roll the dice and take a chance, and maybe they'll win. Maybe they won't. Maybe they'll lose gloriously. Think of Van der Poel in the Amstel Gold last year. He wasn't riding to a power meter. He could well have, you know, blown that and ended up with nothing, but he ended up with the race. And this year in the classics, those results might not go his way, but if it's as entertaining to watch, then, you know, I'm all for that and I can't wait to see it. And, you know, with Pogacar listed for Liège as well, then that's going to be pretty good to watch, because when the road goes uphill, he's fairly unstoppable. So I'm looking forward to that. The classic season can't come soon enough. We hope. There's a lot of stuff in the press today that coronavirus might stop the Italian races. I hope that isn't the case. But, of course, World Health has to come before the start of the cycling season. But to lose like the likes of Milan-San Remo, and maybe after that Strada Bianchi, would be an absolute... Oh, God, it'd be awful, wouldn't it, to contemplate from a bike-watching point of view. Let's hope that isn't the case. So who would we say have been the winners and losers of the early season so far? I've actually quite liked seeing that. I've just talked about the new guard, and now I'm going to completely contradict myself by saying it's been great to see like Nibali throwing one of his attacks out there. You know, the way he got classic guy Jasper Stuyven to, you know, pin it and drill it up that last climb of the Tour of the Algarve with Nibali then, you know, in tow, and Stuyven peeled away and Nibali dug in. You know, the fact he didn't have the legs to pull it off was almost irrelevant. It was brilliant to see that he was happy to have a go that way. So Nibali, for that performance alone, will be in my conscience and my psyche, and I hope that, you know, maybe he has a good start to the season and, you know, he's a factor in the Giro. Giulio Ciccone as well, winning the Liguellia trophy. He is a man that rode kind of under the radar, and yet he won the King of the Mountains in the Giro d'Italia last year and wore the Mountains jersey in the Tour de France. So very emotional on the bike, likes an argument with anyone he's in a breakaway with. But Ciccone, with a win under his belt, hopefully he can build on what he did last year, and we can see, you know, a real genuine Italian high mountain climber out there that can compete with the Colombians, because I think that's potentially now the big issue of the day, is whether or not anyone can climb as well as the South Americans. So we expand it from Colombia to include Ecuador, so we can have Bernal and Carapaz, Superman Lopez and various others. So it's going to be fascinating, even once we get beyond the classics and into the Grand Tours. But yeah, I've enjoyed Carapaz, Nibali, and I've also enjoyed the performances of Landa, Mikel Landa, and I think you'd have to say, going back onto the mud, I think Elie Isabeau's my new favourite cyclocross rider. Sorry, Lawrence Sweek. The way he rides, proper aggression in his performances has certainly made him a favourite. But overall, I think Quintana has to have it so far for his performances. He's still winning now. But let's get into it and see how the season really develops. So fingers crossed, after the Cobble Classics, after I've managed to absorb them all and obviously watch every second of them on TV, watch them back, there might be a blog, there might be another pod. Let's see how we go. But in the meantime, it's great to be back on the air. Thank you very much, everyone, for your support. And we will be back, hopefully soon, with Pod 127 fairly shortly.